Yeah, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Samuel. This is chapter 10. There are 27 verses in this chapter. And we're going to ask the Lord to anoint this right now. Let's all go up in prayer. You know, we're supposed to worship the Lord and praise Him and show Him that we love Him. Because He's certainly shown us that He loved us. Amen?
Amen?
He died on the cross for us. He came into the world and then taught us all about the Lord God, God Almighty, which is Himself. And then He laid down His life for us and in love for us. And then He raised it back up, conquered death, hell, and the grave. We really need to worship the Lord in song and praise and in psalms and sing them every day, because this is the way we receive our joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And to have peace on this earth in a turbulent world, a very treacherous world, we need to have the peace which Jesus said He gives unto us, His peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. And this only comes when we worship the Lord. When we worship God, we are really pleasing the Lord a lot, because it shows Him that we're grateful, that we love Him, that we're grateful, that we approach in Him, we believe in Him. And it's those that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth, because God is the Spirit. And this is what the Lord wants, is worshipers, not just people that are learning His word very in a cold and calloused way, but people that worship Him, that go up and know that He is the giver of everything that is wonderful and peaceful and joyful and happy, all happiness. And power and strength. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. And in Him we are totally complete, 100%. And He gives this power over every sickness, disease, infirmity, because He is Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior. All we need is Jesus to be saved. All we need is Jesus to be healed, because He's the healer. All we need is Jesus to have victory, because He's the victorious one. And in order to destroy the works of Satan in our mind and in our flesh, all we need is Jesus, because He has overcome the wicked one. Amen?
Amen.
Be of good cheer, because He also has overcome the world. So if the world is pulling and tugging at you a lot, or even at all you need is Jesus, and He'll deliver you from this world. Amen?
Amen?
From the cares of this world. And if we keep our minds stayed upon Him, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we have no fear of what can happen to us or any evil thing that can happen, because we have Jesus. And Jesus is God. And all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. And if when we have Jesus, we have all that power in us, the power to cast out devils. We have the power over death, hell, the grave, over every demonic force. And this should make a person want to praise the Lord and have a prayer service, a praise service, always praising and thanking the Lord, so that you can have the peace that passes all understanding. Peace. Peace, wonderful peace, because we have Jesus. And our mind is not on the world anymore, and we're not afraid of Satan anymore, because the Lord has come into the world and has conquered Satan. He's destroyed the works of the enemy of our souls. And the devil is, that's all he cares about, is destroying us. And we know that the devil is constantly going to be firing these darts at us. And when we have on Christ the fullness of the armor of God, which is God is our armor, He's our arms and armor. And he is the one that we should worship because in him all things are found. All beautiful, glorious, and wonderful things are found in Christ, in Jesus. So, in so much as that we have salvation and healing and victory, and we have prosperity and power over our flesh, death, hell, and the grave, and over the world, shouldn't we praise the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Let's everybody praise the Lord now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Don't be afraid to say glory to God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We should worship the Lord before we ask of him anything else. And right now I'm asking him, Father, that you will anoint this service, that you'll anoint every word, that you'll anoint the reading of your word, that you'll anoint every word that's sent, the commentary, the translations, to make them clear, Lord, to everyone, and open up our minds so to receive you, Jesus, the written word, and the word that is spirit and life. And as you praise the Lord, everybody, come on, praise the Lord. And also that our spirits will be wide open to receive more and more of Jesus, of you, Lord God. Lord, Father, we ask that you give us, we know that when we do these things that we have the power to stand another day. Amen?
Amen.
Because this word is life. It's our eternal life. Hallelujah! And it's spirit. And so we thank and praise you, Lord, that you put it on our heart to praise you. Because, Lord, you deserve the praise. Amen?
Amen.
And you tell us and warn us of all the different things. We thank you for sending in finances, Lord, and that you paid off four more properties today over in the Fort Smith area. Glory to God. And Lord, another steel building was purchased today and it's being paid for by cash. And Lord, just everything is going on. Everything is happening and all kinds of people are going to be coming to the services now. People are getting saved one right after the other. And, Lord, we praise you for all these things because without you it's impossible to do anything. We can't do anything without you. Lord, so anoint this service in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now we have a couple of letters. I thought that it would be good, and the Lord put it on my heart to have a couple of letters read of people getting saved from the literature, and this should encourage everyone to distribute more and more literature. Because the more of it that is distributed, the more souls that are going to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go ahead and Michelle, read these two. What, you got two letters there?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and read them.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the Father lavished his love upon us that we should be called children of God. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the materials you are sending me. May the God of our Lord Jesus bless you abundantly through all his riches. My wife, Temwa, and I are busy distributing tracts and newsletters. I have opened a small office, and so many people are coming to get your literatures. Many repented and get baptized. This small office is very busy by school students and people from other churches. They come in asking questions and then repent from their sins. So please, Tony, send me many literatures of different kinds. Send many newsletters and many of your books entitled Messiah. Thousands of people are coming as if I give them a lot of money, but it's the Word of God. I am busy baptizing people in the river. Send me Bibles for some people which have your tracts and which have repented from their sins. If possible, help me with $100 for chairs. I went to Zambia preaching about your tracts and people received Jesus and got baptized in the river called Wemba. Your tracts are a net for fish. Many blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry from Malawi, Rumphi, Malawi.
Who is that? Africa?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor Alamo.
Now, where's this one from?
This one's from Bronkhorst, Ghana.
That's Africa also.
Yes.
Okay, in case you people from Norway don't know that. All right, then what?
Dear Pastor Alamo, sanctified greetings to you, the blessed, and may you continue to win more souls for the work of the Almighty Lord. Pastor, I am a young Ghanaian of 23 years old and a student in a college. Truly speaking, I had never been in a church before, neither have I ever thought of being a Christian until recently. I was born into a traditional family who never entertained Christianity. My day of salvation came when, in a lecture hall, I was presented with one of your newsletters by a Good Samaritan. I could not wait until the end of the lecture before I read it. In fact, I was touched by the Holy Spirit when I read about the wonderful things the Lord did to Jennifer Colbeck on the sickbed and the teachings you provided. I say this to the glory of the Lord, that I am now a total convert, a Christian who never had time for the leisure gods, but now teach many people about the Word of God, especially my family. My father has burned all the wood carvings he possessed as gods, and my mother, with all the family members of 15, are now Christians. There is now a total change in my life, and I now believe in the Lord with faith. I think the Lord wants to use me as his messenger, and in view of that, I would even like to stop studying accounting and serve the Lord. At present, I have two Bibles, and I read all day and night from the day I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. At present, I would like your assistance and guidance in pursuance to the work of the Lord. Thank you, yours in Christ, from Bronhoffo, Ghana.
All right, praise the Lord. That's very good. Sharon will come forward, and we'll start reading from 1 Samuel, but I do want to say something that we have four or five new tracks coming out. Three of them are older tracks. However, there's like a lot of new letters in with them, and they were just single tracks or pieces of literature without letters from all over the world in them. And what we've done is made newsletters out of them. One was one of my testimony tracks called entitled Dry Bones, and another one is Earthquake, and another one that's going to be a newsletter also, and it's already pretty well done. And then also A Mass Suicide, that will be a newsletter, and it has all real nice, fantastic testimonials, just like the two you just heard. And then The Fugitive Pope. And then I've got another one called It's Better to Marry Than to Burn, which is a scripture out of the Bible. And then I've got another one concerning the great falling away of the church, and how that Satan is setting down in the temple, which I'm explaining in the literature, how that the temple of God is actually the born-again Christians. And that is the great falling away. When Satan sits down in the temple of God, or the mansion of God, or the house of God, which is our human bodies, then that would mean that you have fallen away from the Lord if you have allowed Satan to sit down in the temple of God. And so that's a very good piece of literature that the Lord gave me. And so we're going to be putting out about nine tracks here. I got behind because the Lord told me to get behind and start reading the Bible, doing these tapes for you. But now I've got the momentum. I believe I'm able to just do these tapes during the day, and then also to finish off with some of these pieces of literature that I've written, and just putting some final touches on them, and incorporating a lot of these really wonderful letters from people that are being saved. I know that many people are encouraged and are saved because of the letters that people write in telling how they receive salvation from reading the literature, and how that they immediately go out and tell others and want more literature so they can distribute it to other people in their towns. And some of them are so zealous that they're actually Xeroxing them off and distributing them throughout their towns. So we're going to try to get these nine tracks out right quick. I really am geared up now. The Lord is starting to feed me some more, I think, very incredible messages that win people's souls and truly shows people that we're in the day, the last book of the Bible, Book of Revelation, and we're standing right on the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very important to know the whole scriptures because we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God, which is the whole Bible, which is also Christ. So when the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that means believe on the entire Bible, because the Word, God is was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word came to this world in the flesh. God came to the world in the flesh so he could have genuine human blood, because he had mercy on us, and he came to shed that blood. And that's why he never did say, my God, why have you forsaken me? It really, in the Aramaic language which Jesus spoke, Hebrew and Aramaic, it really says in the original writings, my God, for this cause came I into the world. And it just makes people think. I heard this interview person, what's his name? Larry King, saying that Jesus was angry at God when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this Crystal Cathedral man didn't know how to answer him because he didn't know that. What's his name? Robert Shuler just sat there and just made Larry King very angry because he didn't have the answers. And so I sent a copy of a piece of literature that I had written from Dr. Lamps's book, how he explains that the translators of the King James Version made a mistake because they weren't able to read as well as they should have the ancient Aramaic language, and they missed a dot here and a dot there, and it turns the whole, a few of the scriptures around to where they don't mean. They mean the exact opposite of what was said. And so therefore, that's why the Lord tells us to study the Word, which a lot of these, if Robert Shuler would have studied the Word as much as he should have, then he would have been able to answer him. But people shouldn't go on talk shows, especially when they're internationally broadcasted, unless they know the Bible. They've studied it well enough to where they're not going to be workmen ashamed not knowing what the Word says. There's a scripture in the Old Testament in the Psalms where David stated certain things, and then a lot of clergymen state that that was the fulfillment of what Jesus said on the cross, my God, why us? Thou forsaken me, but he never said that. He said, I came into this world. He came into the world to die, and he stated that he's going to lay his life down, that he'd raise it back up. I mean, that is totally contradictory to everything that the Bible says. I mean, the whole Old Testament was every sense Abel and Cain. They were giving sacrifices of Abel was sacrificing blood or animals as a symbolic of the Lord God coming into the world in the body of Jesus Christ, the Word. And he would sacrifice animals with blood in them, which is only symbolic of Christ. And his brother Cain would sacrifice vegetables and fruit, which had not the virtue of the blood of the Lamb of God that was to come into the world. And so therefore God despised, did not like his sacrifice, because it did not symbolize God coming into the world in the flesh with genuine human blood to shed for us, to atone for our sins, to wipe all of our sins away. And he did not, the whole Bible from Genesis up to throughout the whole Bible talks about him coming to sacrifice himself for us. And so therefore, why would he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is such a miscarriage of translation that I've ever heard in my life. That troubles a lot of people. Then I've had people call in or write me and say, even though it is true, do you think it's wise to contradict that portion of the King James Version? I'd say yes. The King James Version is a mere translation of the original. All right? And so the original is what you should go by. Amen?
Amen.
It's, you know, most of the King James Version is correct, but the translators had not as much knowledge of the Aramaic language as they should have. And so therefore, let me, through Dr. Lamps's explanation of that, let me set you straight. And you can get the Aramaic Bible at your Bible bookstore, and you'll see that that's what it says. All right, so I just thank and praise the Lord that all these things are, all these crooked ways are made straight when you study the Word. Amen? And you get that straight in your minds, okay? To know Jesus, the real Jesus, did not say, my God, why have you forsaken me, when he himself is God. Was he going to forsake himself?
No.
That'd be something if you had the power to take your life up and, or lay it down, and you get on the cross and say, oh, Tony Alamo, why have you forsaken me? Huh? Mm-hmm. That's just how crazy that is. Oh, God, Jesus said, I am the Almighty God. And he says, Almighty God, why have you forsaken me? Well, get off the cross if that's forsaking you, right? Amen? No. False. Amen? Okay, well, now some of our people are shaking their head. Oh, yes, let's get on to the next thing. But the people that are listening to this tape don't know these things, and there's new baby Christians moving into this church every day, whether in the United States or somewhere else in the world, and they need to hear it the way it really is, all right?
Amen.
Some people have no mercy on them whatsoever. They don't care if people hear the truth. Only if they have it, that's all they care about. Those are selfish people in the church. All right, so here we go. Samuel chapter 10, King James Version, with the 27 verses. Okay, go ahead. Verse 1.
Saul anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. King James Version, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Verse 3. Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine.
See, Samuel's telling this man everything that's going to happen to him, so that because God told him all these things, so that Saul knows that he truly is going to be the king of Israel. Because everybody knew that Samuel was a prophet. And so when all these things happened, as he went along on his journey to him, and just as Samuel said, man, that must have blown his mind. Amen?
Yeah.
And the things that we have prophesied from the Bible regarding the book of Revelation and all the rest of the Bible, such as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the great falling away and about the people that say they're Christians that are into false doctrine and are sinning and saying that no one is perfect and no one can be perfect. These are the fallen away ones that have allowed Satan to sit down in the temple of God, which is them. And it just shows that all these things that the Bible talks about, has already come to pass. And we're already we're into the 10th chapter of Revelation, going into the 11th. And the Lord is standing right at the door. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 4, "And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands."
Two loaves, not three, not one. But these guys are going to give him two loaves of bread to prove that what I'm saying to you, that I'm a man of God. Amen? And
amen.
I know these things from the get-go. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. "After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery and a tabret, and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy."
Right. Now, there are no telephones there that I'll call ahead 8 cents. This is Samuel. You guys, when he gets home in here, come down the hill and I'll right, make it look, you know, good for me, because I want everybody to know I'm a prophet. No, there was no phones or faxes or, you know, emails or anything like that back then. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This really, you know, they know that this man is a prophet. Then what?
Verse 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man."
Wow. You know, that happens to every single one of us that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Spirit of God enters into you, receive him in your mind, and then into your heart, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
From a vile creature, you become a son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Even more so today than then. He becomes a new man. We become new creatures. Amen?
Amen.
Same thing. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. Okay.
Translation, verse 1 through 6. "Saul anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul on the cheek and said, quote, I'm doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the leader of his people, Israel. Verse 2, when you leave me today, you will see two men beside Rachel's tomb at Zelzah, Z-E-L-Z-A-H, on the border of Benjamin. They will tell you that the donkeys have been found, and that your father is worried about you and is asking, have you seen my son? Verse 3, when you get to the Oak of Tabor, you will see their men coming toward you on their way to worship God at Bethel. One will be bringing their young goats, another will have three loaves of bread, and a third will be carrying a skin of wine. Verse 4, they will greet you and offer you two of the loaves, which you are to accept. Verse 5, when you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the altar on the hill. They will be playing a harp, a tambourine, a flute, a lyre, L-Y-R-E, and they will be prophesying. Verse 6, at that time the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you with power, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. King James Version, verse 7, and let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Translation, verse 7. After these signs take place, do whatever you think is best, for God will be with you.
God will show you what to do. All right. Keep going.
King James Version, verse 8. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. Verse 9, and it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day.
That's the prophet, amen,
amen.
Samuel. Oh, then what?
Verse 10, and when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Verse 11, And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?
Yeah, and let me prophesy to you, too. Also, the Lord prophesies and wants me to tell you that there are this tsunami thing that you saw in the news is a very minor thing in comparison to those things that you're going to see shortly. All right? Then what?
Verse 12. And one of the same place...
Not only see, but you're going to experience shortly. You're going to see it, and it's going to affect you. Okay, then what else?
And one of the same place answered and said, But who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, Is Saul also among the prophets? Verse 13. And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. Verse 14. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, Whither went ye? And he said, To seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. Verse 15. And Saul's uncle said, Tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. Verse 16. And Saul said unto his uncle, He told us plainly that the asses were found. But of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. Verse 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah. Translation, verse 8 through 17. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me, and wait for me there 7 days. I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. When I arrive, I will give you further instructions. Samuel's signs are fulfilled. Verse 9. As Saul turned and started to leave, God changed his heart, and all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. Verse 10. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw the prophets coming towards them. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy. Verse 11. When his friends heard about it, they exclaimed, quote, What? Is Saul a prophet? How did the son of Kish become a prophet? Unquote. Verse 12. But one of the neighbors responded, quote, It doesn't matter who his father is. Anyone can become a prophet. Unquote. So that is the origin of the saying, quote, Is Saul a prophet? Unquote. Verse 13. When Saul had finished prophesying, he climbed the hill to the altar. Verse 14. Quote, Where in the world have you been? Unquote. Saul's uncle asked him. Quote, We went to look for the donkeys, Saul replied, but we couldn't find them. So we went to the prophet Samuel to ask him where they were. Unquote. Verse 15. Quote, Oh, and what did he say? Unquote, his uncle asked. Verse 16. Quote, He said the donkeys have been found. Saul replied. But Saul didn't tell his uncle that Samuel had anointed him to be king. Saul is acclaimed as king of Israel. Verse 17. Later Samuel called all the people of Israel to meet before the Lord at Mizpah. King James Version, verse 18. And said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. Verse 19. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. Verse 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. Verse 21. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Verse 22. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Verse 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. Verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Verse 26. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Verse 27. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Translation, verse 18 through 27. And he gave them this message from the Lord, the God of Israel. Quote, I brought you from Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all the nations that were oppressing you. Verse 19. But though I've done so much for you, you have rejected me and said, quote, We want a king instead! Exclamation mark, unquote. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and clans. Unquote. Verse 20. So Samuel called the tribal leaders together before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Verse 21. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites were chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, they lived in about the same territory. And that's why they became later one tribe. They became together. Okay, then what else? Because Judah was the biggest tribe, and Benjamin was the littlest. Okay? Study your Bible. Then what else?
Verse 22. So they asked the Lord, quote, Where is he? Unquote. And the Lord replied, quote, He is hiding among the baggage. Unquote. Verse 23. So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Verse 24. Then Samuel said to all the people, quote, This is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is his equal! Exclamation mark, unquote. And all the people shouted, quote, Long live the king! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people what the rights and duties of a king were. He wrote them down on a scroll and placed it before the Lord. Then Samuel sent the people home again. Verse 26. When Saul returned to his home at Gibeah, a band of men whose hearts God had touched became his constant companions. Verse 27. But there were some wicked men who complained, quote, How can this man say this? Unquote. And they despised him and refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them.
All right, that was the 1 Samuel chapter 10 with his 27 verses and commentary, and now translation, and now I have some commentary.
10 verse 1. Oil throughout Scripture typically symbolizes the Holy Spirit. This is the first recorded instance of any anointing with oil other than for anointing the priests and the sanctuary. The monarchy was therefore given similar importance as the priesthood. Quote, This inheritance, unquote, is the nation of Israel. 10 verse 2. Rachel's tomb. Rachel, who was Jacob's wife, died in giving birth to her son Benjamin, after whom the tribe of Benjamin is named. Genesis chapter 35. Her tomb is between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. 10 verse 3. Terebinth, T-E-R-E-B-I-N-T-H, tree, the large oak-like tree which served as a landmark on the road to Bethel. 10 verse 4. The greeting and the receiving of the sacrificial loaves was to be understood by Saul as homage being paid to God's anointed. 10 verse 5. Gibeah, meaning hill of God, was Saul's home. Samuel was the first prophet around whom a colony of young men gathered for the purpose of learning to dedicate themselves to the service of God. Such a group of prophets formed in Ramah, Samuel's hometown. Music was a significant part of their expression of praise and was often written under the spirit of prophecy, which came upon them from the Lord. 10 verse 6. Saul will be turned into another man, that is, transformed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. 10 verse 7. The ability has been given by God, but Saul must choose to act upon it. 10 verse 9.
In other words, God makes us able by the Holy Spirit living in us. We're more than able to do all things in Christ, but we have to act upon it, just like Saul was supposed to act on it, and he didn't, and therefore the kingdom was taken away from him, and the Spirit of God withdrew himself from him. All right, then what?
Both the transformation and empowering of the Holy Spirit, verse 6, as well as the regeneration of the heart, are essential if Saul is to lead Israel in the direction God intends.
Right. If we're not regenerated, if the Spirit of God has not fused himself with our spirit, then we have nothing of God to give anybody. We must have God in us in order to dispense God out of us. And we must completely replenish God in us on a daily basis in order for us to be able to dispense the living God, the Spirit of God, into others. Okay, then what?
10 verse 12. Who is their father? Does one become a prophet through lineage or through the power of God's Spirit? Saul's father Kish was not a prophet, therefore the prophetic gift was given by God. This proverb came to be applied to anyone who appeared in any sphere of life that was radically different from his usual one.
Right, like my dad was not at all a godly man, and my mother occasionally went to church here and there. Didn't matter what church, she'd just go to any church. And so there was nobody that really was of the Lord in my family, and the Lord called me and chose me to do a great big work for him, just like he did Susie, and just like he did everyone else that's in in this church. But you have to act upon it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
10 verse 19. The rejection of God is shown in their desire to be like the other nations. See chapter 8, verses 19 through 20. 10 verse 20. The tribe, clan, family, and son were determined probably by casting lots. What Samuel had done in privately anointing Saul, verse 1, is now publicly confirmed so that both the people and Saul will have assurance of God's choice. 10 verse 22. Saul was hidden because of an authentic modesty and shyness on his part. 10 verse 24, quote, no one like him, unquote, refers to his attractive physical appearance. 10 verse 25, the behavior of royalty is a prophetic description of how the monarchy here established is to conduct itself in relationship to the law and covenant of God. 10 verse 27, that, quote, these rebels, dot, 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 brought him no presents, unquote, was a serious breach of efforts bordering on outright rebellion. 10 verse 1, as Samuel anointed Saul king over Israel, he was also burying his personal dreams. Samuel was the last of the judges whose sons would never share his honor. But despite his disappointment, Samuel found the courage to follow God's will instead of his own. He was willing to lay aside his plans and even to assist in the process of helping Saul become king. Assisting others on the road to a new life sometimes means that we must give up some personal dreams of our own. But if we are following God's will, helping others will turn out to be the surest way to discover a new life for ourselves. Not only a new life for ourselves, but a better life for ourselves. 10 verse 12, Hebrew, responded, quote, "Who is their father?" unquote. 10 verse 20, Hebrew, quote, "Chosen by lot," unquote. Also in chapter 10 verse 21. 10 verse 27, Dead Sea Scroll. Nahash, king of the Ammonites, had been grievously oppressing the Gadites and Reubenites who lived east of the Jordan River. He gouged out the right eye of each of the Israelites living there, and he didn't allow anyone to come and rescue them. In fact, of all the Israelites east of the Jordan, there wasn't a single one whose right eye Nahash had not gouged out. But there were 7,000 men who had escaped from the Ammonites, and they had settled in Jabesh-Gilead. 10 verse 26, a priest, quote, "whose heart God had touched," unquote, points to a critical phrase in the maturity process. God touched Saul's life, and then he touched several individuals to support Saul in his new role. These words recall a verse in the New Testament, quote, "Jesus came over and touched them," unquote. Quote, "Get up," unquote, he said, "don't be afraid," unquote, Matthew 17, verse 7. The touch of God's healing hand enables us to deal with the past, persist in the present, and find direction for the future. Starting anew means that we must first come to God for the salvation He offers in Jesus Christ, John 3, 16. Then we must depend on Him for sustenance and strength, John 15, verse 4 and 7.
Right. And so we need to worship the Lord, and we need to add more of Him into our mind and into our spirit on a daily basis. There's no need to try to do anything else, because there's nothing in anything else. The Lord says, "Love not the world," He says, because there's nothing in the world for us but lust. And He says that it's the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life. And so if there's lust, it doesn't do us any good. Lust, when we have the Spirit of God, when we, now it's all right to have a wife or to have a husband for a woman, but and it's all right to ravish one another, but it's not good to lust after the things in the world. The Lord says that having a wife or having a husband is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with having relationships sexually, because God made us that way, and it's fine. But outside of marriage, it's absolutely no good. It's amazing how so many people today are opposing marriage, but they condone abortion, which is first-degree murder, and they condone preteen and teenage sex. They give birth control pills and coils and all sorts of devices like that to encourage sexual promiscuity, sinfulness in the schools. And then they also encourage homosexuality and lesbianism. But they hate marriage. And the Bible says that in the last days this would be doctrines of devils. Why do they hate marriage? It's because the Bible said in the last days there would be seducing spirits. And these evil spirits are actually convincing people to be lovers of their own selves rather than lovers of God, which tells us to preserve people's lives. And a person upon conception is a person. They're a person that has been sowed. Just as if you sowed a watermelon seed in the ground, that's a watermelon seed, and a watermelon starts growing from that, or a carrot, or whatever. And that's conception. And that is a life, and so therefore people are to love the things that are of the Lord, and he hates fornication, because all fornicators shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. He hates murderers, especially first-degree murders. Little babies can't defend themselves. And he hates homosexuality and lesbianism. And so there's three strikes and you're out right there. These items here, these three items, should tell people that you're living in an anti-Christ world, an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian realm. They hate marriage. This is a doctrine of devils, the Bible tells us. And so if you've received that doctrine, you've received the doctrine of devils. Now, that's why it's important for you to read the word of the Lord and to receive only what he says, because his word is the Holy Spirit, and it's the holy life, the immortal life, the eternal life. And Jesus has everything for you and me. He has salvation. He's the Savior. He is the healer. All healing belongs to those of us that are that have received Jesus, because Jesus is everything good. But we need to receive him so we can have the victory over our flesh, death, hell, the grave, the world, and so that we can have the victory. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in us, gives us victory over our flesh, the lusts of the flesh. So keep your eyes on the Lord and read the word spiritually. Don't just read it by the letter. If you can only assimilate one verse per day, read it and remember these things that you're being taught at this moment by the Holy Spirit. I'm your pastor, and if I'm not, I want to be. So keep your mind on these things, and until chapter 11 in 1 Samuel, God bless you and praise the Lord.